You're listening to the Hammersley Brothers e-commerce podcast. We're offering anybody who listens to this podcast a free e-commerce scale session with either one of us or one of our team members. In these e-commerce scale sessions, we look at five things. Firstly, what's possible. We look at what's achievable in the next 90 days and then the next 12 months. Secondly, we look at the situation. We look at how you're attracting, converting, and delivering what you're working on now. Thirdly, we look at your number one obstacle and what we need to uncover in order to work out what's holding the business back. Then number four, we map out a three-step action plan for help you to sell more products, simplify your e-commerce business, and make satisfying progress. That's what the plan is all about, achieving these things even faster than you currently are. And then five, most importantly, you'll leave the scaling session feeling clear, confident, and excited about taking your e-commerce business to the next level and doing it more quickly. So book your scaling session today by heading over to ecommercecall.com and booking your session with us today. We guarantee this call will be the most important call you make all year. Hello and welcome to the Hammersley Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week we're going to dive a little bit more deeply into Google Shopping. So let's get started. Hi Ian, how are you?
Hello Mark, excellent. Okay, how are you doing?
I'm all right, yeah. Good.
Another week. Another drive home from work. You're driving into work, I'm driving home from work. Which, of course, is how this podcast started.
Yeah, no. I don't drive anymore. I'm just stuck at home.
Yeah, different world. Walking to your office. So interesting. Mark and I were just having a conversation tonight about a podcast that Mark did. Mark, you were interviewed by Chloe Thomas on the Keep Optimizing podcast, and you were talking about Google Shopping, and I listened to it, and it's an excellent podcast. It's really, really good. You should all check it out. What I was thinking as I was listening to it is that you're very, very knowledgeable about it, and sometimes when you're very knowledgeable, you think how, you know, you sort of lose sometimes the ability to explain it like to somebody who knows nothing or who really has very little understanding of Google Shopping. And I think it was very good, but I thought what I would do is explore some of the things you were saying about Google Shopping and ask you some questions about it and put my take on it. Sort of.
Well, why don't you, you could also pretend to be an idiot. And then you can ask me kind of questions, which I don't know if you'd find that hard, to be honest.
Well, you know, it is a challenge, being the younger brother, you know.
Yeah,
let's give it a go. Well, let's see. Well, I'll tell you what. My take on paid advertising, if you talk about paid advertising for a second in the world of e-commerce, I think they're fascinating. I find it absolutely fascinating when you consider that really – the goal in e-commerce is to spend as much as you possibly can on paid advertising. And the main two channels of paid advertising really is Google AdWords, Google Facebook, Google Shopping. So AdWords and Shopping and Facebook, Instagram, Facebook. They're the two main channels. Yeah, you got affiliates and display and all those kind of things. But actually, most SEO of it comes down to, well, it's not paid, is it?
No,
it kind of is. True. It's not paid.
Yeah.
But the two main paid channels are your Google and your Facebooks. And if you think about it, if you understand the following thing I'm about to say, because I think this is, when you actually get your head around this, I think this is game changing in terms of a mind shift, is that you spend as much as you can on the paid channels until your metrics fail. So that if, for example, you've worked out your margin, you know, your average order value is £100, you've worked out your margin on the product, you've worked out your returns, you've worked out your lifetime customer value, and you figured out that your return on ad spend has to be times four, which is pretty average. You know, that's about where most of our clients are, isn't it? It's times four. So you spend £1, you get £4 back. And so you basically spend as much as you possibly can until that metric fails, and it becomes impossible for you to spend any more money because you can't buy that traffic profitably anymore because it falls to three times. You spend £1, you only get three times back, and therefore you start to lose money. So the whole game is being able to spend more in order to and still maintain that magic four times return on ad spend, because
or whatever you need to make your business work. It doesn't have to be times four. Some people do times 10. I've got, you know, some people do times 14.
And the difference is mainly on your lifetime customer value, your average order value, margins, all those things. But the main, you know, the thing that's really important is that you can click, all of you who's listening to this, you can click your fingers now and you could have 100,000 people to your website tomorrow because you can pay for it, right? So you can get the traffic because you can pay. So getting traffic is not the problem, but it's getting traffic that's profitable. Because if you went out and bought 100,000 visits tomorrow, it wouldn't be profitable. You'd lose loads of money. So the whole point is being able to spend as much as you physically can to hit that magic, whatever your return on ad spend needs to be. And when you fail, when that metric starts to break, then you have to go and look at your KPIs, your metrics, which is what we talk about all the time, which is your average order value, your conversion rate, or your lifetime customer value. And then let's say, for example, then you get your average order value up by 10%. So, you know, it was £50. It's now £55. That extra £5 for the same amount of traffic that you've come to your site has then allowed you to go and buy more traffic that was previously unprofitable because the metrics have changed. So it's now they're now spending £55, not £50, which means that same marketing budget has become more efficient, which means that you can then go and get a little bit more traffic. Because the first let's say you're spending £5,000 a month on Google, the first £1,000 is often more efficient than the last £1,000. So, you know, when you get to that point, Google's, I can't spend anymore because, you know,
Do you want to explain why that is?
I think it's fascinating.
No, but do you want to explain why the first £1,000 is more profitable?
I'll turn it around to you within that context of what I've just said, you know, in terms of how paid advertising works, where it fits into the whole thing. It's like you spend as much as you can until your metrics fail, and then you go and change the KPIs on your e-commerce store through all the things that we're talking about. So now, tell me why the first £1,000 is more efficient than the last £1,000.
Okay, so typically you will be selling, let's say you're selling a marble garden pot, like a garden pot for the garden. Now, and it's a green one, and it's maybe made by Versace or something like that. So it's like a Versace marble green garden pot. Okay, so obviously the best search term for that is going to be green Versace marble garden pot. Because that's very specific, and people are going for that term. So people want to go and search for that, and obviously there's only a certain amount of those a month, people searching for those. And so they're probably going to be the most lucrative. So that would be what you went off after first. So that was your only product, you go after that first. But then you say, right, I'm doing really well on this. Maybe I can go, the next step up would be maybe Versace marble pot, not the green one, but like, you know, all the ranges. So therefore, that's slightly less specific because not everybody's looking for a green one. It's not going to convert as well as people just looking for a green one.
Well, there's obviously more traffic.
But there's more traffic, yes. And then the next step up would be probably Versace garden pot, which is not necessarily marble or green. And then the next one up would be maybe marble garden pot or green garden pot. You see, and as you're going up, there's more people searching for that because this becomes broader and broader. But obviously your product becomes less specific for that searcher.
Yeah.
So that is why you would tend to be more efficient at the beginning and less efficient as you expand.
Yeah. So Google wants you to, it wants to get you to make you convert, obviously.
Yeah.
It wants to put an advert up there that's going to convert. And so that makes total sense. So the goal then here is if you think about, you've got two sliders, you know, one on the left is your green marble garden Versace pot, and then on the right you've got garden pot, and it's how far, and obviously you've got more traffic for garden pot, but it converts less. On the left you've got low traffic, but it converts higher for the specific term. And it's, I suppose you're saying is, it's how far you can go from the left to the right until it stops. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any money, you know. And yeah. obviously by improving your average order value, conversion rate, your lifetime customer value, it allows you to go further towards the broad mm-hmm. traffic, because that's where the traffic is, and that's how you can then grow. That makes complete sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. So you might be stuck, like, with the, you know, Versace Garden marble part. You might be stuck there. And as soon as you take marble out, you don't make profit. But therefore, at that point, you'd go, well, I really want to go and get more Versace Garden pot sales, and I can see there's a lot of traffic for it. So I need to make my the traffic coming in from those search terms convert better or have a higher average order value, which means I can go and make that work. So that's when you start to go and work on the metrics, because that's really all you're doing. You're basically kind of going, well, I can see other people are selling to that traffic, and they're obviously making money. So how are they doing it? What are they doing differently? Yeah. You know, what are they offering differently? How can I make my choice better than that choice? Because if you think about it, as you move from that left to the right, you have to go, someone has got those customers already. Someone, the choice for those customers who are further to the right is currently going to someone else.
Yeah.
And you have to displace them to win the business. I mean, obviously there's some markets where no one's serving that market, but that's pretty rare these days.
Yeah.
You know, on Google Shopping. And if you're going to something that isn't, you know, then no one's serving, there's probably people aren't searching for it.
So. Yeah. And that's why we talk about the market square test and all those things, isn't it? So in terms of like I think the other really important thing is generally how much does it cost us to acquire a customer, and how much is that customer worth to us over a lifetime? And that's like the fundamental, you know, metric, isn't it? So in terms of that first one is how much does it cost us to acquire a customer? Well, that's on, obviously that's the return on ad spend, or the cost per conversion. And then the second one is how much is that customer's worth to us over a lifetime, is how we would determine the return on ad spend that you should go for. Because really it's about margin, and it's about how many times that customer purchases. So, you know, if you're selling something like contact lenses that has, you know, an average lifetime customer value of 12 times a year because they're buying once a month, then you could afford to go much lower than that, what, you know, 4x ROAS.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that the lifetime customer value is there. Whereas if you're a normal e-commerce business where they're buying once and a half, you know, maybe twice a year, you know, then you can't be you have to be profitable on the first purchase. So that's where that comes from, isn't it? Essentially it's a margin versus lifetime customer value.
Yeah. And if you're only people who only buy once, and it's like a, you know, wedding dress or something like that, then you've got to make the money on the first sale. You can't recruit and think, oh, I'm going to go and get some more sales out of this person later, you know, because it's not going to happen. The one thing I wanted to say is as you raise your cost, the traffic you get. So as you raise your spend. So if you think about a graph on the bottom, x-axis, you've got the spend going up, and then on the y-axis you've got the amount of traffic that Google can give you going up, and it's like an s-curve. So it's like an s, which means at the beginning when you start to spend more, you don't really get much traffic, and then you hit the steep side of the curve where you're adding a little bit of spend but getting a lot more traffic, and then at the top it kind of tails off. So even if you're spending loads more, you're not getting any more, because at some point you've got all the traffic that Google can give you, and all you're really doing is pricing at the top of the auction and just paying more to Google. We're not getting anything in return. But most people will probably find them in the steep part of the S curve. So as they add more spend, they will get a lot more traffic.
Yeah.
So
one of the questions that we get asked is quite a lot is how big do you think the market is for my stuff in the UK or in France, Germany, etc. And presumably you'd look at market at the impression share, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So what would you answer to that question be?
It's always a very difficult question because, like, people always want to know how big the market for this, how big this could go. And I think at some level, it's like, why do you need to know that? Because it doesn't really matter. It kind of is what it is. And I know why they want it. They want to see how much runway there is with it, I guess. So, you know, but you have to get something selling first before you can answer that question. I think a lot of people ask me that question, say, oh, I think I'm selling, going to sell all these Versace pots. And they go, well, how big's the market? And you go, well, I don't know how big that market is for that because I don't know how that's going to be received by the existing traffic that there is. And I don't know whether people typing in green garden pots will buy the Versace one. So you can see there's an existing market and you can see there's something out there that people are looking for that product, but you don't know whether that market will buy that product or which parts of that market will buy that product. So it's very difficult to answer until you've actually got something selling. Once you've got something selling, and you can then go into your Google Shopping account and go, right, we are getting 20% of the impression share for the search terms we are going after at the moment. So then you can give them an idea and say, well, there's this much potential in that market. Having said that, again, if you can increase your average order value, lifetime customer value, and your conversion rate, the market then gets bigger. Because you can sell to more of it and you can sell to more search terms. So it's a very, very difficult question to answer because it's like saying from all these people who are looking for this product, how much of you can sell this to? You know, like things that go viral, you know, I guess they would never have known that people would have ever bought that item.
Yeah.
You know,
well, sometimes people aren't searching for it. I mean, that's where, you know, probably the paid social thing comes in, because obviously in the only place you get intent to buy is in Google, because that's actually they're searching for it, you know, they're searching for you know, Mount Blanc pen. And whereas in social and Facebook they're not searching for it typically, unless it's Pinterest or something like that, or even, you know, Instagram, but mainly it's, you know, Facebook, they're not searching for it. But what you can get in Facebook that you can't get so much on Google is you can get a lot more accurate with the targeting, you know, because you've got a lot more information. Obviously, Facebook knows a lot more about them, so you can then drop. So, you know, they're not searching for these products. I mean, there's loads of things that have just, you know, products that have exploded, you know, online. But people would search just because you put it in front of the right people at the right time and it was the right thing. But so you kind of, you know, the market is as big as how many people want to buy it. Which you don't always know. But just going back to, like, the fundamental things around Google Shopping. So, you know, the main channels, you know, Google Shopping, AdWords, and social. You know, you say certain businesses naturally work better with paid social, but certain businesses work naturally with Google. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but you get certain businesses that work well with both, you know, don't they? I mean, you know, but I've always thought when you and I were having a conversation about Google Shopping, we're saying really, to be honest, the average minimum cost per acquisition is about 10 quid through Google Shopping, tends to be. Yeah. And so your average order value is quite key. So if you sign something for £20 and the kind of the bottom end of cost per acquisition is 10, it is, you know, it's inefficient to use Google Shopping for something that's that cheap. Whereas, you know, if it was £100 average order value, you know,
it's kind of a nice sweet spot, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be 50. It doesn't double, you know, it's more efficient. You know, the £10 cost per acquisition isn't linearly, you know, mapping with as the average order value goes up. It doesn't go up at the same rate. It sort of, you know, it stays lower. So the average order value is quite key too. But just talk to me generally around, you know, okay, talk to me about the track. Like, because I always say to clients, you know, you want to start from the bottom up with traffic, that, you know, you don't want to necessarily have the really leaky bucket. So we say look at remarketing first and make sure, you know, you're following people around. And then, so you're just throwing more people in the top of the funnel. So, you know, whereas if you throw people in the top of the funnel and you don't have any of the follow-up sequences in and you have the remarketing set up, you can just be driving traffic to a site that's not. Because I think so many times you hear the stories, oh, I tried, I mean, it's not so much now, but 5-6 years ago, oh, I tried Google Shopping, I tried PPC, it didn't work. Didn't work, turn it off. And I basically say, well, hang on. That's like someone saying, someone comes, if you had a shop on the high street, someone comes into your shop, opens the door and says, hi, mate, have you got... if you've got a Mount Blanc, you know, I've just got a Mount Blanc pen in my hand, actually, so I'm using that example. You know, have you got a Mount Blanc, you know, pen, black ones? You go, yeah, they're over there. And someone just walks out. Someone just goes, just literally just doesn't even say, just shuts the door and goes. Because that's basically what's happening, isn't it? It's like, so almost like if you turn your back on paid advertising, you turn your back on a scalable mathematical business model because you can't rely upon SEO or affiliates, or you know, you can't rely upon an email because you have to get people on the email in the first place. So you've got to make paid work.
Yeah, but whether you can have social or PPC. Yeah, Google,
no, well, I'm saying that. But when I say paid, I mean both. I mean it's like you know, you've got to have traffic there. You have to make it work. You can't say, "Oh, paid doesn't work for me." You know, you've got to, and it's not a magic wand. You can't get people to buy your stuff. If your stuff's rubbish, it doesn't matter, you know, it's not going to work. If you're more expensive, your value, you know, your value proposition's poor, your delivery's, you know, slow. I mean, look at the business we were working with years ago trying to sell Tag watches. You know, and we were like, they were, you know, saying, why isn't it working? We said, well, you're selling Tag Heuer watches that are more expensive than everyone else. Your delivery's 7 to 10 days. It's you're paying for delivery, you know, everyone else is next day, free next day delivery. You know, why do you think it's not working? You know, of course it's not going to work, you know.
Yeah, but it has to be a reason to buy from you in online. And I think that the difficulty is a lot of people came online from physical stores and they kind of thought, well, I sell at a physical store, so I should sell online. And it's
certainly
it's
in that different. Case, yeah.
Yeah, because then they kind of go, you know, if you had 7 stores on the same street as you and you're all selling the same thing, would people still buy from you? Because that's what's going to happen. That's what happens online. And they go, well, not if everybody else is selling it cheaper than me, or they had a better customer service, or they had a nicer store, or, you know, it becomes a different conversation for the buyer. And therefore you've got to work it out. But I think Google Shopping, you know, like, there are some people that it is very hard to get working for, especially if it's, you know, let's say you are an unknown brand selling a high priced product. That is probably the hardest thing to get working because no one knows who you are. You're coming into Google Shopping, you're putting something on there, you know, let's say it's a school bag for a child. And, you know, most school bags, I don't know, 20, 30 pounds, something like that. That's the kind of everyman price for a school bag. And you're coming on and you're selling yours for £250 and you're an unknown brand. You've got a lot of work to do to convince people that your bag is worth a lot, that much more than the other one from a Google Shopping ad. So that's probably the hardest. But if you are coming into that market with shopping bags, a school bag, and maybe you're slightly more expensive, but you've got a clear advantage. Maybe you're, I know there was like in the US, they've got these bulletproof school bags now, you know, so there's a clear advantage of why you would pay more for a rucksack. So it's because it's bulletproof, you know, that's a massive feature. You're going to buy, you expect to pay more for something that's got a big feature on it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're just saying, well, we're fancy designers and we're from London and therefore you should buy more from, you know, it's like, it's going to be very hard to get started on. Obviously you can come back to Google Shopping once you've got a brand and people know you and, you know, people are looking for you and you've heard about it and they've got brand recognition because, you know, people like Versace and Armani, that they are on there now, but they're globally well-known brands.
Yeah.
So
you can't, I mean, you, Well, that's where you'd probably say that social would be probably slightly more relevant.
Yeah, because you'd have to go on social, you'd have to tell the story, you'd have to get influencers involved, you'd have to go, oh, this is the journey I went on when I made this bag, and this is why it's good, and this is all the people watching. You need more time to explain the story of the bag, whereas Google Shopping is like...
We've had a lot of success with higher value luxury items and using the offer architecture to help add the value, you know, the problem. And we talked a lot about, you know, three-legged stool, but, you know, you have a high brand or you have a product that solves a unique problem, we go down the offer architecture route. But you know what I think's fascinating with paid with traffic, and when you talk to people about Google Analytics and you know, traffic and sessions, you know what this session is and the traffic is? It's actually a real live person. I know that sounds stupid, but I think a lot of e-commerce people forget that it's actually a human being. You know, and it's the equivalent is they're walking around your shop, you know, physical shop. And, you know, they're not going to buy if it's not a nice experience, or the competitive offering isn't there, or there's no reason to buy, no USP, or it's the product page is a dead end page. They're going to bounce back into Google. They're not traffic, they're not sessions, they're not a number. It's a real person. You have to start thinking about it like that. You know, it's not a magic tick box that you can do and it's going to start working. You've got to really think carefully. And I think sometimes with paid, people go too broad too quickly. That I would say that if you've got, you know, 10 different categories, let's say you're selling running shoes or something like that, you know, you take a certain category and just look very carefully that small, to go for a small group of products, do the market square test that we talk about a lot, to go and look about who you're coming up against, what's their price point, what's their offer architecture, what's the returns policy, what's the delivery, what's their warranty, you know, what is there an offer on, etc., etc. And just go and look at that. Right, how am I going to do better than these guys? How am I going to compete against it? Just do that with a small ring fence budget of say £1,000 or even less, and just see very carefully on a small bunch of products and get that right, and then add and then move from there rather than throwing your entire business at it, you know, everything, because then you're going to get lost.
I've actually got a client like this at the moment. They're starting on Google Shopping, they're selling garden products, they've got 2,000 products, and they've given me I think £20 a day, and it's, you know, you put all the products on there and you get very random results because, you know, certain times the Google's spending on this product and sometimes on this product. And it's like, so I was talking to the colleague that is running it for me, and I was saying, well, we haven't got enough budget to get any meaningful data from 2,000 products with £20 a day. So let's look what's sold. Let's look at what's sold so far. And I go, oh, okay, it's these kind of plant tents and these LED lights. Okay, now if I just go and take those products out, how many products are those? And it was about, I don't know, like 15% of products. I'd say, right, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go live with just those products, and we're going to go spend that £20 a day on just those products and get really good results and get really meaningful data with those products. Once we've got that running, then we'll go and expand it and we'll work out what to do next, because too much data and also too little. You know, what do you do when it doesn't work?
It's just like, so watered down, isn't it? Yeah. Like, well, it's so watered down. No, you're that's such an important thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so, because you just can't see, and it's just not enough, because often people, you know, they don't buy in the first visit, they don't buy in the first click, and there's a lot more to think about.
But you're just gonna go through a lot of budget, and when you come, let's say you spend £1,000 and you go, well, I only got like a 0.7 return on spend, so actually lost money. And then you go and say, well, I need to go and dive into those numbers. I need to work out what my average order value is. I need to work out what my, and it's like, well, I've got too many products.
It's all over the place.
It's all over the place. I can't optimize anything. I don't really know what I'm going to do. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. So, you know, and then you've got to go and spend another £1,000 to find the next bit. Whereas if you actually had focused, you could either go and say, well, that I can't, I can either, okay, I got those tents, those plant tents. If I go and do these plant tents, I get a return on investment of 1.6. I need to get 3. Do I think that's possible? Do I think that I can actually increase that? Can I do an offer on those? Can I get that working? Can I have a post-purchase upsell? You know, what is it that I can do for that funnel to make that work? And then you say, well, I can either get that working, or let's say you get 0 sales. You go, well, I can't sell these for some reason. Is that because some competitor's outbidding me, or is this wrong for the market? You know, it's like you have to have a conversation, and you have to, it's like being a scientist, isn't it? You have a hypothesis, you test the hypothesis, and then you go move on and you work out what's going on. Whereas if you're a scientist, you don't go and test the whole world in a tiny lab with one lab assistant. You just can't do it. You just don't have the amount of resources. So
yeah,
I think, you know what, it also depends. The strategy depends on whether or not you're selling other people's products, or like, you know, where they can buy from multiple places, or it's exclusive, unique to you. It's your own brand. That also dictates the strategy as well. And it's like, you know, you're absolutely right. In order to get paid advertising work, you've got to look at the fundamental business dynamic. You know, are we selling other people's products? In which case, you know, reality is, they're not going to buy from us unless the price is right. We've got to offer something new. And how can we win that race? If we're selling other people's products, then you've got to go, well, if I can get, I can't compete on price because the price is fixed. You know, I can't put the price up, the discount down, because that's ridiculous. You know, they're not going to believe me. You know, and I can't really lead on price because there's just no margin in it. And also, I won't be able to sell the products anymore because my supplier will cut me off. So what else can I do? Well, I could do things with average order value. I could say, well, okay, I'm going to do a kick-ass upsell bundle deal with this product that everyone else is selling. And, you know, and that, I'm going to do an upsell, and that's going to be an upsell that I'm going to maybe a little bit more margin on. And then all of, and I can add £50 onto that product. So everyone else is paying, you know, bidding. Let's just say it's, a computer monitor, you know, and it's an LG model 123XYZ. Now, everybody's selling that £200. They're all going for it on Google Shopping, £200. But I've got a kick-ass AOV upsell, so I'm tacking on £50 to that because I've got a stand that goes with it and an amazing HDMI cable. Yeah. All of a sudden now,
or you've got a warranty. Bidding,
or extra, I've got a warranty. Yeah, 10-year warranty, and everyone else has got 2.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, so I'm now bidding on a product, an order that's £250. Everyone else is bidding on £200 because they haven't figured out this stuff. So who can spend deeper and bigger on Google Shopping? Me. I'm therefore going to win the race. And it's that's how you get paid advertising working, is that mindset. Not some clever bid dynamic nonsense that there's some magic wand. It's fundamental business logic there. And that's the same thing with all e-commerce, isn't it? It's about understanding the fundamental drivers of growth. You know, how can I compete on Google Shopping against everyone selling the same product as me? Well, I can get them to spend more. And that's it's that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I was thinking that, you know, we're obviously not going into the weeds of Google Shopping, but I've covered that on the other podcast. So I think,
well,
if you want to actually go into like how we set up stuff and do different stuff, I went through that with Chloe.
We're not
talking about the fundamentals.
I don't want to take anything away, but I did, because I thought the podcast was great. You went into the tier structure and you had 12 different campaigns. It was really detailed. So if you do want to know, you know, well, we can put a link to the podcast on the thing. But I just thought, actually, you know, the fundamental maths and metrics of it all is what was interesting for me, that, you know, you got quite into it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you summarize it in really quick? Like, you know, you talked about smart campaigns, and then you talked about manual bids and that, you know, is it possible to do it in a really short, sharp commercial way?
Well, I think what we're trying to say on this podcast is that Google Shopping person or Google Ads person, even someone like me, could take something that doesn't work, like doesn't sell anything, and turn it into something amazing. you know, you have to get a sniff of some sales, and then someone like me can take that sniff and turn it into something profitable. That's what they can do. But in order to set up stuff, you either have two options. You either go smart shopping, which is basically you're giving all the control to Google, and Google that can be quite good. Google's getting a lot better. Or you can take the control yourself. And if you can take control yourself, obviously you control the bids and you can control the negative keywords and all that jazz. So
yeah.
What I'm trying, if you kind of sum it up, basically those are your two options. You're either going to be in the account a lot, changing all that information and controlling it. And if that's what you want to do, then obviously you're going to be in it one. You know, if you're spending a decent amount, you're going to be in it 2-3 times a week and doing it. Or you're on smart shopping and then you leave Google to it. And if you're leaving Google to it, then obviously then you would go and work somewhere else and you say, right, I'm going to make the best offers, I'm going to be doing the stuff on the site and all that stuff. So, you know, I think what I'm starting to think is there's probably a hybrid approach. I won't go into that too much because I don't want to layer that on top of the techniques I talked about in Chloe's podcast as well, because otherwise people are going to get too confused.
Do you want it, like, if you were doing, like, because you're breathing, sleeping this all the time, aren't you? You know it so well. But if you do, like, I did a podcast on, you know, what I look at in Google Analytics, like, as just a kind of really quick top. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
You know, if you were going into someone's Google AdWords account, you know, first time, you know, right, I would say, Mark, check this out. Look at this client. Client wants to have a look at AdWords. What would you look for? Like, do super,
yeah, so
super quick.
Basically, you know, you've got three things. You've got the search campaigns, you've got the shopping campaigns, you've got the display campaigns. So I'd go through those, I'd look which ones are spending, and I'd look at the return on investment, the ROAS on those. That would be the first thing to do. Then I'd look in shopping to see how it's structured and whether or not we've got any search terms that we just shouldn't be bidding on and whether there's been negative work done on it. Then I'd probably go and look to see how it's being bid. Like, are we using some of the, you know, are we using like target ROAS or are we using manual CPC? How's that being managed? How's that coming, you know, coming aboard? Like, are we taking advantage of things when Google has the tools to do so? Because like sometimes if you think, basically now you need to understand how the algorithms work. And the algorithms need a certain amount of conversions to actually work, say like 50 conversions in a month. And if you structure the campaigns and the ad groups so that those conversions are split down too much, and then you're using like a target ROAS, you're not going to get the advantage of the algorithm. So there's a certain structure you've got to build when you're a certain size to get the most benefit out of the setup that Google has got. So that I'd kind of be looking at the overall structure. Then I'd be looking to see whether they're doing remarketing, whether they've got that working, whether they've tried to get it working. Because you'll see a lot of people that try it, not get it working, and then you give up. And actually, there's a way of getting it working, and you have to go through a little bit of pain to train the algorithm to make it work. And then you can kind of move on to, you know, you can even move on to the smart display, which is where you only pay for a conversion. You say to Google, look, you can spend as much as you want. I don't, you know, you can give me as much traffic as you want, but I'm only paying when I get a conversion. And that's awesome, because there's no risk then. You know, there was one campaign, I think we got like 40,000 clicks before we got a sale. We didn't pay a thing. And then, you know, Google came. And then you go into search and you go, well, you know, are we bidding on search on the top keywords that convert on shopping? If I've got like 10 conversions on a keyword or search term on shopping, you know, should I, you know, can I try that on shop on search? How is it layered in search? What kind of structure have we got? Very tight adverts against ad groups, you know, against keywords, so it's a really good match. And those are the basic things I'm looking for, and then obviously we go a little bit deeper with stuff. But I think a lot of people listening to this are probably in a position where they're getting going, they're getting some return, or they've not got some return, and they're really trying to move themselves up that S curve. So I think fundamentally the biggest changes when I've been in that position hasn't necessarily been in the ad account. It has been from changing the offer on the site, because if you are in the position where you're not making money from paid and you're trying to kind of move around things in the AdWords account, it's so difficult because you're under so much pressure, because the site is so it's taking so much, so many ingredients to actually make a cake, and you've got all this left over. You need to get the cake making more efficient. So
I think that's why you've got to look at your paid channels, particularly Google Shopping. You've got to look at your whole site.
Yeah,
you know, because you have, because you can't just yourself, go and drive the traffic.
You can't
and then,
breathe. You can't breathe. Yeah. You're basically like having to work with such a difficult environment in your Google Shopping and your campaign.
You have to think about the whole thing as one.
Yeah.
As one campaign, yeah. The site itself, like I just said that example before about how, you know, if you're selling other people's products, like the, you know, the computer screen, you've got to get into you've got to go into the site and think about how can I get the average order value higher by adding upsells and cross sells and sweetie pages and things, you know, all this kind of stuff, multi-buys, you know, free gift stuff. That conversation's got to be part of the same, hasn't it? The whole thing is one. Which is really hard to find and hard to do.
It's learning how to sell. I think this podcast, a lot of the episodes, we're trying to teach people is how to sell, because I think that is kind of lost when you come to digital marketing. You kind of think you're going to add these whizzy tools, you're going to get these upsell emails, and you're going to do this stuff, and you're going to do that, and then you're going to go and do some crazy techniques in Google Shopping. But fundamentally, it's a how to sell something.
Yeah.
How to increase the amount of revenue you're getting per order. And that's what's fundamentally that holds everything up. And I think that was the reason why we started the podcast in the beginning, because I was getting frustrated by people coming to me. I was doing the best practice and I was like, it's not going to work unless you actually learn how to increase your core. So I was like, well, here you go. Here's the information on how to increase this. I'll coach you as well on how to do that. Then I'll take on your Google Ads if you can get to a position where you're converting. There's no point otherwise. There's no point just, you know, I think there's this kind of belief that you can kind of take these gurus off the shelf, put them into your business, and they'll just make it work. And it's like, well, you're not if you've not done the fundamentals.
Yeah, you can't do it anymore. You know, I think that, you know, I don't know who we're talking to, but where's that notion, that belief come from? And like, oh, I'll put my site online and then it'll start selling and everything will be great. And you need to just put these magic modules in and it'll start working. And I think it's like, go back 20 years ago when you could sell online because you were the first person in your industry to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing. That was why you sold. Now, that's not the case now.
There's also a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of misinformation from, it's Shopify still extensions and, you know, ESPs and stuff like that. And they do these case studies and go, oh, we put it on our site. We've got a, 200% uplifted conversion rate. And it's like, well, that was probably in like one traffic source and one channel and just done from this for a specific company. And perhaps they had turned off email the week before. You know, it's like everything is, it becomes, you know, if something seems very difficult to believe, it probably is quite hard to believe.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that I do come across people who I'm like, oh my God, that is insane. Mm. How did you manage to do that? You know, like every day.
Yeah, amazing. We do. Yeah.
And
you know what? That's fascinating, isn't it? When you see certain businesses that have scaled online really well and you're like, my God, how have they done that? And you come and often they've done something like incredibly well. Look at the guy
on the level 2 program the other week. And we said, you need to do a post-purchase upsell because I think it would work really well for you. You might probably get 10%. He increased his sales by 100%. He did $21,000 in the US, $21,000 in first revenue, and got another $22,000 from the post-purchase upsell. He doubled his revenue by adding a post-purchase upsell, and it's like,
so
what? Well,
fundamentally, then, so we're not. I don't think we don't mean to contradict ourselves, but we're saying that if you've got the core right of the business, then you can add these these things in, and it starts to work. But if you start to rely upon these things, thinking that this is how you're going to scale from, you know, if your core isn't right, then it isn't going to work.
I think it's like you're looking at, when you're looking at the Google AdWords screen, you're looking at it from a set screen, you go, I've got to make this work from in here. Whereas actually you've got to think, I've got to throw some magic dust on it from outside to make it work as well. I can't, it's not an island.
I think that's just over the years, it's knowing what tool, module, thing is going to work at what time, in what time, you know, when to implement the post-purchase upsell, when to start really pushing Google Shopping, when to start doing behavioral based email, you know, when to start doing the merchandising algorithms. It's knowing what lever to pull at the right time.
And that's
what we've said all along, is the key to e-commerce growth is to know what to focus on, when, you know, because everything, you should be doing all of these things, but you need to know in what order what to get, what you're going to get out of it, because you can just lose so much time by focusing on the wrong shiny stuff. There's complete distraction.
And that's why we do the coaching groups. That's exactly what we do in the coaching groups. People come on the calls every week and they go, I'm doing this. What do you think about this? And I'm like, why are you even focusing on that? It's just like, you know, it's like I'm trying to put the icing, but I haven't made the cake. There's no cake there. You're going to find it very difficult to put the icing on if you've got no cake. So,
but the icing's a fun bit.
Yeah. It's like, but it looks nice. I can see everybody else has got icing. It's like, yes, but you've got no cake. Make a cake. Doesn't look right when I put the icing on. It's like, yes, because you've just put icing on a plate. It's stuck. It doesn't work. It's like, oh no, yeah, no. Let's make a cake.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's great. All right.
Awesome. Thanks. And I'll try and get the link for the Chloe Thomas podcast underneath, just in case people want to listen to that one as well. Well, thank you guys. Make sure you grab a copy of our book, ecommercebook.co.uk, actually www.ecommercebook.co.uk. And we've still got the 550 offer on there. So please go and grab it and come into our ecosystem. And if you want to get onto one of our coaching groups, just let us know. It's all good fun. Got a really good group going and people are really enjoying it. So speak to you soon.
Cheers, Mark.